It's good to be here, and we have been camping out in a series called Selfless. Everyone's got that? And so we live in a culture that says, give me, give me, give me, bless me, bless me, bless me. And we've wondered and thought, what would life look like rather than saying, improve me, my job, my car, my money, my relationship? What about if we said, let's improve the world around me? And we realize, including myself, we've got this internal drift. Automatically, we naturally want to look after ourselves. Isn't that true? Come on, guys. Is that true or what? I Googled, are we selfish? Question mark. I actually Googled it. And guess what? It was amazing. I thought it was really funny. A bunch of articles came up. Scientific articles came up to confirm that we are naturally selfish. Isn't that funny? Who on earth needs a scientific study to prove that we are selfish people? I've got four kids, and now I've got a grandson who's just turned two. And can I tell you, I never had to get any of my boys and say, hey son, you are sharing too many toys, you're giving away too much money, you're too nice. What I need you to do is look after yourself. Take care of you. You grab those toys. Don't you share them. I've never had to have that conversation. Why do parents have to teach their children to share? To not rush into the food when no one else has had any food? Because we are naturally, turn to your neighbor and say, you're selfish. You're self-centered. For some crazy reason, they had these studies to prove that we are selfish. What a waste of money. I could have told them that. Any parent can tell them that. The article actually, or several articles, they also tell us, one of them, that actually men tend to be more self-centered than women. And as a matter of interest, I know. And as a matter of interest, you'll relate to this, bro, especially men who work out of the gym regularly. They tend to be that category of people. I know, buddy, absolutely. Men, can you believe it? But us guys, we're all fine, right? We're gentlemanly, we're gracious, until we get on the road. Until we get behind that wheel. And we drive, and there's traffic, and there's lanes on the motorway, and there's a good, healthy space between you and the next car, and you feel like someone's drifting over, and they're going to almost take that spot. And we all know what we do, amen. We just press a little more on the accelerator. We've got to hold that gap. Let nobody through, because we've got to look after us. Isn't that right, guys? Yeah, but you do it so gently so your wife doesn't know that you've got a bit of an attitude going on. But it's an amazing thing how we... Now, woman, ladies, you're not going to get let off. I've seen you shopping. I've seen it. When you get that trolley, man... It's beautiful, smile, looking all glam. But when you get your hands on the trolley, watch out, world. It is go-kart city, man. It is, you know, it's car racing. Because you want to get in and out, right? Especially if you've got little kids. You're in and you're out quickly. We do know how to look after ourselves. But men have the main problem. It seems to be with men, of course, except with ladies, is chocolate. Oh yeah, chocolate girls. Apparently, scientific studies show if you're with a friend, a sister, a girlfriend, and you're there and there's a small piece of chocolate cake and a big piece of chocolate cake, all graciousness and kindness go out the door, because now it becomes a cat fight. Inside, I'm going to have the big piece of chocolate cake. And all the sisters said, at least you're honest. Praise God. If the cake fits, eat it, right? Just eat it, girls. As the great theologian Michael Jackson said, just eat it. Just eat it. Open up your mouth and feed it. Eat it. Oh, yeah. We are naturally selfish. Can you admit it? Or maybe you're fine, but turn to your neighbor, tell them, you're just selfish, man. You're always looking after yourself. Even a church chair, you want to get the favorite chair, get the first coffee. You don't want to miss out on that last biscuit. It's true, isn't it? We're naturally selfish. In fact, studies show that even people that do selfless deeds, actually their real motivation is that they feel good about themselves. Our culture totally feeds into this. Gratify. If you were here last week, it was gratify yourself. Indulge yourself. Look after number one. Treat yourself. But the problem is, Jesus says, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Pick up your cross. And then I found something out. You can't follow Jesus, really follow Jesus. I know the Christian cliche thing, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus, I'm with the way. But you actually can't, and it won't work until you learn to deny yourself. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, which is a metaphor for death. Isn't that our great challenge? It's one of my great challenges, even with chocolate cake. Some of these things, of course, aren't wrong. I'm playing with you a little bit. But when they become more important than Jesus, then they are wrong. Sounds so judgmental. That's right. The Bible judges it as wrong. It's called idolatry. Wow. It's gone quiet all of a sudden. So truly following Jesus means that we're bold in witness. We talked about that back earlier in January. Man, we're still in January. Can you believe it? And last week we talked about being grateful in the, who listened? We talked about being grateful in the grind, in daily life. When you find God's purpose, no matter what you're doing, passion follows purpose. And the problem is we're often following passion, but we don't know God's purpose in anything. And I even use the illustration of changing the nappy on a baby. When you understand God's purpose for the season and the moment that we're in, then passion can follow that. Passion always follows purpose. Amen? Following Jesus also involves what we're going to talk about today, extravagant in giving. Extravagant in generosity, actually. And here's our key text. We're going to bookend the whole sermon. We're going to read it twice at both ends. Proverbs 21, verse 26. And I'm going to use the ESV version. It says, all day long he. Now the verse before is talking about the lazy and the selfish. So verse 26 is referring to 25. All day long the lazy and the selfish craves and craves more and more. Give me, give me, give me. But on the other hand, the righteous gives and does not hold back. Don't you like that scripture? Some of you are thinking right now, shoot, why did I come to Generosity Week? Why didn't I come last week? Hey, don't worry about it. I was just like you. I was not a generous person. I can still remember writing out a tithe check. $97.14. Writing the words out, $97 plus 14. Remember the checks? Anybody remember a check? Like a bit of paper, had the like the artwork of your bank. 97, every nation, or $97.14. Then you put it numerically and you sign it. Why didn't I just put $100? See, here's me trying. I wasn't a very generous person. I made it hard for God to persuade my heart. And so we're going to look at this thing called generosity. I totally get this. And we're going to look at three mindsets. And for all the people who love everything in order, you've got your socks in order, you've got all your clothing in order. Here we go. We've got three words that all begin with the same letter. Yeah. I'll let you know up front. The bag, the basket, and the barn. Okay, here we go. So the first mindset. These are the person with the bag mindset believes there is never enough. There is never enough. We're going to go to Haggai. Haggai is interesting, beautiful. He's a minor prophet and not a short guy, but he just had a small piece of work. In the Old Testament, And here's a context. God had told the people of God to build the temple of God first, then look after their own household. Interesting. He told the people of God to put him first, build the temple. But what happened is they tried to take care of themselves first. They kind of looked at what was left over and then put that to God for the temple, but there was never enough. And this is what Haggai the prophet said. He says, you eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he or she who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. The bag mindset says there's never enough. Most of New Zealanders are like this. They can't get ahead. They're always struggling. Words like this will come out of their mouth. I wish I could give more. Money doesn't grow on trees, you know. I would like to tithe. I mean, see, these are people with a poverty mindset, a scarcity mindset, a lack spirit. There's never enough. They really don't have enough ever in their bag. See, people with the bag mindset, they're keepers. They're not givers. They complain. Why do they always get the breaks? Don't the richer get richer and the poorer get poorer? Woe is me. The person with the bag mindset, their hope and their trust is actually in the bag. What's in the bag? There's a guy in the New Testament. We're going to tell a few stories today out of the Bible. There's a guy in the New Testament. His name was Judas Iscariot. And he had a bag. Now, Judas was one of the disciples, and Judas was the treasurer of the disciples' connect group. He was the money keeper. And if you look it up in Mark 14, there's a beautiful story there of a woman, and most commentators believe she was a prostitute. And she'd been so changed by Jesus, she had so experienced the blessings and the goodness of Jesus that she wanted to express her love. And this crazy in love woman took this very, very valuable jar of perfume, valued at approximately 1 year's wages. The average wage today is what, 48 grand or something? I'm a bit out of touch. In the thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars, maybe 40 grand, 38 grand, I'm not sure. She broke it and she poured it over the head of Jesus. She was ridiculously extravagant in her generosity. She didn't hold back. She broke it. She poured it on Jesus. Such worship, such richness, such love, such gratitude was pouring out of her. She gave. And as she did it, as Bible says, that there were some disciples, including Judas. And they think, what are you doing, you stupid woman? We could sell the perfume and give the money to the poor. You see, the problem is Judas had a distorted understanding in his love for money. He had a bag mindset. Just a few verses later, the same guy who gave that generous woman a hard time, the same guy who goes off at the woman, betrays Jesus over 30 coins. Why? Because he wanted more in his bag. There's another mindset called the basket. In the bag, there's never enough, but in the basket, there's enough. Let me show you the blessings of the basket in Deuteronomy 28, verses 2 and 5. In the NIV, it says this, all these blessings will come to you and accompany you if, this is a conditional promise, if you obey the Lord your God. You see, the people in Haggai's time, they didn't obey God. They wouldn't trust God. They wouldn't put God first. But when God's people put him first, he says this in verse 5, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed, hallelujah. Will be blessed. It's a promise from God. There will be enough. Let's take it over to the New Testament in Luke 6:38, a famous piece of scripture. I love it. It says, give. Everyone say give. 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 And it will be given to you. He didn't say keep and it will be given to you. Hoard and it will be given to you. He says, give and it will be given to you, not just any kind of way. It says, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You know, we determine very often the blessings of God in our life. I want you to catch this. I've deliberately taken the offering before now because I don't want to manipulate anything. This is not about the money. This is actually about heart. People go, oh, he's preaching about tithing again. No, I'm not. I'm talking about generosity generally. I'm going to talk about tithing, but can I tell you, I'm always reluctant to talk about it. It was 3 years ago I talked about tithing for the fear that people might think he's trying to fleece his own pockets. Can I tell you, I get a set wage. It's going to stay that wage whether we get more in or we don't. I'm trying to release people into the blessings of God and understand when we put him first, all things that happen. When we give, when we initiate, when we move, when we trust, then God says, I'm going to bless you. Oh, here, in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. He's saying, give and it will be given to you. Jesus understands a very important principle, and I'm glad about that because he's God. He's trying to communicate how to live better. How to live in a different level, how to live in a different realm of faith. You want to hear it? You want to hear about the principle? You sure? Here it is. What you keep is all you got. What you give, God multiplies. What you keep is all you have. But what you give, God multiplies. Jesus knew that what you have, that's all we're going to have. But when we give it, he will take it and he'll introduce, he'll inject, he will impregnate the miraculous, the anointing, the spiritual power of heaven to multiply. Wow. He said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Well, I wonder if you get the imagery. You probably heard sermons, maybe even a song about it. Woo! But what's the imagery here? See, the audience knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. The audience at the time knew. They were people that worked on a farm. They were people that worked in agriculture. That's why most of the illustrations and parables are about agriculture. Today it would probably be about technology in our country. But they understood what he was talking about. You see, back in those days, a rich landowner would leave grain at the perimeter, would leave on the outside of the field. He would leave grain there for people. The rich landowner, if he was generous, would leave grain there for the poor to come to the edge of the field and to collect. If they were hungry, they could grab food free of charge and take it to their family. So I want you to think about this. I want you to unpack the basket for me. I want you to think that you're a worker. You're working for the landowner. And it's your regular job. You're clocking in at 8:30 in the morning. You're leaving at 5. You get your morning tea, your afternoon. You're there and your job is to move the grain from the edge of the field into the barn. How would you do that? Well, if you're anything like me, you'd go along. You'd just casually take your time. You'd probably have your Spotify going. Have the sounds on. You might, you know, get it comfortable, 75%, 80%. We just walk pretty slow. You know, it's a pretty hot day. We'd make our way eventually to the barn because, hey, we're getting minimum wage hourly rate anyway. Right? Right? Come on, people, work with me. Is that right? Oh, no, the conscientious would absolutely run really quickly and put it back. No. But on the other hand, if the landowner was generous, and if on the other hand you were very hungry, and you had a family, children, that were very, very hungry, how, and he says, go ahead, there's grain at the edge of the field, how would you then pack it? I'm telling you now, ladies and gentlemen, if you were hungry and you had children who were very hungry and a family who were very hungry, you would go over to there, you'd make your way there as quickly as possible. You'd get your basket, wouldn't you? And you'd fill it in and you'd pour it to the top. And what would you do then? You'd press down, oh, shake it together, press down, shaken together and running over. You see the imagery. And then you would carry it. Now, for some of those people who are struggling with the imagery and you're more of a modern person, let me help you with this. I remember going to an ice cream place and they give you a tub and it's all you can fit in the ice cream tub. Some of you smart people know where I'm going with this. These different flavors of ice cream, there's little chocolate things, there's sprinkles and things, and you want to get as much in there, don't you? Be honest. Would you put like a little dollop in the middle? No way. You put it in, and if no one's looking, you just be honest. Has anyone done that before? Yeah, I feel so good about myself right now. You pick out a few Smarties, you put it in, you make sure, how can I get it up? You know, maybe put a few of those chocolate sticks around the edge to create like a fence, you know, and grow it up, and then that is how God says, if you give to me, you'll get in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what God says. That's what He's trying to do. He's trying to get the blessings out to us, but we hold on to it because we our hope and our trust, really, forget the song, forget the preaching, man. When it comes Monday to Saturday, we hope in money, we hope in our stuff, we hope in possessions. When God says, bless the other person, give it to the poor, you don't need 3 televisions, give it away, even if you've got only 1 TV, give it away sacrificially. Why don't we do it? Because we're intoxicated with comfort and plenty and much. God wants to fill your basket, my friend. But He says, give first. You make the first move. Let me see what you really trust in. But God, that's right, it's called faith. It's called faith. When you give, God gives back. Oh man, I hope you can get this today. What you keep is all you have. But what you give, God multiplies. There's a beautiful story in the Old Testament about a widow and a son. Times were very tough. Man, seriously, things were really bad. She's a single mom, got a little boy. You can just feel the mama's heart. It had gotten so rough. She'd dried up all her connections, no family, no bags of food rocking up, no Wynn's office, not even the Salvation Army were in town. And she was out there collecting sticks to make her first little fire. She had a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour in a basket. Some translations say jar. And she met the man of God. Elisha the prophet came along. Very difficult situation. And he says, can you get me a water woman? I think he's very brave to call a woman. If I called my wife that, I might. That's really why I've grown the beard, to hide all the. Hold it together, Richard. He asks for a drink, first of all. And then he says, can you give me some bread? If you read the story, they're having their last meal and preparing to die. The scripture, the story is so rich, it doesn't hold anything back. That's the tension. I don't know whether we can even understand this because we have such an abundance. I don't know if any of us have truly ever really been hungry. We're so blessed in this nation. Maybe we don't even need God for some things. And she's there collecting her sticks, and Elijah challenges her. Says, would you trust God? Can I have it? And she responds to him words to this effect, I'd love to look after you, I'd love to profit, but all I have is a little for me and my boy. And he challenges her and says, would you trust God? Just give the man of God and see what happens. And the woman, this is really a message about 2 courageous women and a boy. And the woman, who had almost nothing, made the most courageous, faith-filled decision to honor God by giving the man of God first. It doesn't take a mathematician to now realize she would have nothing it was all on. It's total, not only her faith, but her boy. I can only imagine between the lines of scripture, I mean, what mother would not give her own food to a child? What father wouldn't take a bullet for his kids? The survival instinct. But nevertheless, the incredible woman of God, I'd love to meet her in heaven one day, came to that point of, man, what am I going to trust here? I don't even know the guy. He's not been in my church for many years. He's just rocked up, some prophet, declares himself a prophet. Looks like a homeless guy just walking in here. He says, feed me. Amazing. And if you know the story in 1 Kings chapter 17, she made that incredible decision and something miraculous happened. Something amazing happened when she fed him. Miraculously, the basket just kept getting full. The more she used it, the more it supernaturally and miraculously began to increase. There's the bag and there's the basket. Why don't we stick with our food theme today? Anybody feeling hungry? I am. Let's bounce over to the New Testament about food. Jesus is teaching thousands of people up there, maybe 10,000 or more. It says there's 5,000 men, probably a bunch of women and kids as well. And everybody is hungry. There's no Uber Eats. There's no pizza delivery guy on his little moped that getting you away when you're trying to drive. There's zip and zero except there's one boy. One boy with his Happy Meal, his McDonald's Happy Meal and a little basket. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this in faith? You're the only one amongst more than 10,000 people and they're hungry and you've got a bit of food. There's no food, just this boy. And they asked him for his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And guess what? Even the little boy understood what you keep is all you're going to have. But what you give, God multiplies. And a miracle happens. You know the story. God multiplied the loaves and the fishes. And if you know the story very well, there's 12 baskets left over at the end. Why 12? Well, no one really knows for sure. Some people speculate about the 12 tribes of Israel. I wonder if God wasn't doing it so each of the disciples would have a doggy bag to take home to their family as a reminder, and so they would know forever and ever, amen. If you give to God, there will always be enough. There's the bag mindset. There's the basket mindset. And then there's a mindset called the barn, where there is way more than enough. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. It says this, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Wow. When you honor God first, everyone say first. First, say it again, first. No, you didn't get me. First. When you honor God first, the blessings flow. See, tithing is not one tenth. Tithing is the first tenth. You didn't get me. Tithing is not a tenth. It's the first tenth. The first fruit. See, tithing is the name for the amount. It's one tenth. The word means tenth. First fruits is the nature of the giving. Not just the amount, it's the nature. You have to understand those who had crops and farms, they would have, if they had 10 lambs, they always gave God the first lamb. They didn't wait and see if they had one spare or left over. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruits and all your crops, and your barns will be filled to overflowing. Let me just say this plain and clear as I can. What does God want? There was a movie, wasn't there? What do women want? What do men really want? Women, wives, you might have wondered that about your husbands. Girls, you might have thought that. What does he really want? Can we ask the question this morning? What does God want? I want you to really understand this. Listen to me, church. God always wants to be first in your life. First. 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 Your God, my God, wants to be first in every aspect of our life. Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God. What does this look like? Well, for me and my wife, this means on the first day of the week, we come to this place called church. It's not an option not to come. If we're out of town or we're sick, we can't come. But it's the first day, the first thing that I'll do on the first day of the first week is come to corporate church for corporate worship, to hear the word of God, to fellowship. That's what we do. It's a commitment. It's a decision. It's what we do. The first activity of the day is to seek Him with the word and for prayer. Not after, not second, third, but first. Almost every day of our life, nearly every day, is seek God first. I'm saying this not to brag, but maybe to give you an example of what this can look like in your life. My friend, is when you get up in the morning, it's God first. At the beginning of a year, we like to pray and we like to fast. When we get paid every Monday, it's the first thing on payday is to give God our tithes. Whenever we come into more increase, what do? We give God the first 10% as an offering. We might support people. We might give to the poor. We'll do things, but we give them the first 10%. We don't dream about using it all and then go, oh, we suppose we better do a bit of an offering over here. It's first. Whenever we have to make big decisions, what's our first go-to? The Word of God. What we do with our money is just a start. What we do with our bodies is another thing. Choice of entertainment, fellowship. You see, you become like the people you hang around with. Every major decision, it cracks me up how people make decisions. And my role as a pastor, whether shifting country, marrying people, jobs, what they ink on their skin, everything. Have they even considered to talk to God? Every major decision. We always go to the Word of God. We should always go to a discipler. Always go to the leadership of the church. That's why we're here. Why don't we seek God? That's what we do. We want to acknowledge God first. Maybe we don't get it right all the time. Maybe we're not the best example, but I'm just telling you, that's what we do. That's what it looks like, friend. First. He's Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. God's not into tipping donations. A tithe is 10%. If you earn $1,000 a week, it's $100. It's not 10 bucks. 10 bucks is not the tithe. That's an offering. $100 is the tithe. It's a tenth of the income. When my boys were young, we had little trikes, or had little bikes, but they had these things on the rear wheel that would be bolted on, like these little outrigger things that come out with like little wheels. And the bike would never quite be steady, right? Because it would lean this way or that way. But as they're learning to ride, they've got these things called trainer wheels. They're there for a period of time, but eventually, as they get bigger and stronger and more confident with their balance, you take the trainer wheels off so they can ride. Tithing is the training wheels for a Christian. It's just the beginning. When you give God the first, and for those that are visiting today, if this is not your spiritual family, I apologize. I need to talk to my spiritual family for a little bit about tithing today. I need to apologize because I want to go there. I need to talk about it. It's been 3 years since I talked about it. But it's not about what you give. It's about what God wants to do. The blessing, the good measure, the pressing down, the shaking and the running over. It takes faith to give to God first. To believe that God can multiply 90%. It's the one area of Scripture that God says, come on, test me. See if I'm not a man of my word. Can I just say once again, if this is not your spiritual family, please don't give. Give to your local house. We're not after your money. I'm just trying to teach the word of God to our people. At the beginning of the year, before we get into all of our New Year's resolutions, we're talking about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, being a witness. We're talking about being grateful for what we have. Next week, we're talking about being faithful in service. A week after that, we're talking about fasting. It's all about selflessness. Today, it's about generosity, being extravagant, radical in generosity. God says, test me. Can I just repeat? Putting $20 in is not a tithe. No one here lives on, I don't think, $200 a week. A tithe is a tenth. For many years, I gave just enough to keep me off the radar from the leaders. Can I just say the leaders don't see it except for me and our financial manager? There was a time in my life where I had the bag mindset. I thought to myself, young guy, 17, 18, 19, I can't remember. You know what? God, I'm just going to take a bit of a holiday on this tithe thing because I want that car. And I actually had a conscious conversation with God. If you'd asked me at the time, were you following God? Were you a Christian? Yeah, sure. God's got plenty. I just got to get this car. And I began to put that money aside and try to work my way to get that car. Can I tell you? I never got the car. Things happened. Unforeseen things happened. You see, because I had the bag mindset. Let's try and get more in the bag. And there was a time where I was tithing. I really was tithing. And my car got stolen from church. We're in a Sunday morning service. Were we in a relationship at that point? No, it was before that world-changing romantic whirlwind of a relationship. And I still remember my blue Ford Prefect. It was parked in the car park of the church. And if you know Epsom Girls Grammar School, there is a row of parking, if you're early, up into the facility, close to the main auditorium, off the road. And I was on the worship team and drumming away. And I parked up there and I came out and my car had been stolen. On the front seat of my car, I had an apple and a wallet with cash in it. Anyway, we have our service. I come out and my prefect is not there. Well, you've got to understand what wheels are for a boy. This is my freedom. And I was very upset. In fact, I went straight to the pastor, Pastor Rob Wheeler. I couldn't believe it. I said, Pastor Rob, my car's been stolen. I mean, who steals a car from a church car park? How cold. And does anybody want to check downstairs quickly? No alarms on those old cars. No. And I just wallowed in my sorrows. We had an evening service, two services, morning and evening. We're a smallish church, maybe 150, 200 people, but we had an evening service as well. And we're small enough for needs like that to be prayed for in the church. And so we came to the evening and Pastor Rob would say, church, this awful thing has happened to Richard in church. And so let's pray. And so he prayed. And I thought, that's great, God, thank you. You know, I'm trying to adjust my attitude and wondering, I can't even recall if I had insurance back in the day. I probably did because my mother made sure we had third party. I think it should be illegal not to. Personally, that's another pet peeve of mine. People don't insure their cars. But we move along from that story, Richard. Don't camp there, move along. So we're there and we finish the service and I'm just moping and walking out. And I looked up and there was my car. Different car spot. There was my car. Somebody had taken it and had a joyride and taken it and done whatever. And I don't know what happened, whether the conviction of the Holy Spirit fell. And I went to my car. And can I tell you, my wallet was on the front seat with all the cash, but the apple core was sitting on the floor. Here's my point. I put God first in my finances, and his blessings were overflowing. I put God first with my 90%, and he made sure. That's always stuck in my mind. I mean, that boy got a lesson right there. God is looking after you. It may not be a pay rise next Tuesday, but it is the intervention of the Holy Spirit. It may be some gift that comes along, or a whole pile of food, or some free clothing, or a voucher, or some kind of deal. But can I tell you, I've experienced for years and decades now the intervention of the Holy Spirit. I could keep you here for a week and tell you the moving and the power of God when I put him first. I put him first in the day, first in the week, first in the finance, first in decisions. When you put him first, friend, God will look after you. He is not a man that he should lie. He's a good father. But some of us do the good, good father, and yet we don't even trust him. When you put God first, I know the bag mindset. I tried it. I never got the car. I know how to live in the barn. I know how to live in the basket. Because I put God first. I put my money where my mouth was. Do you? God is longing. You say, oh God, I want to see more of your supernatural, more miracles. Tithe. Beyond tithing, that's just a training wheels. What about beyond that? Supporting missionaries, we love it. Money overseas, local missionaries, giving, building, giving, giving, giving. Extravagantly. Flask of oil, broken. Tell you what, if we all just sold up and gave everything away tonight, we'd be on the news. I know this can go too far, and I know we can get into areas that are presumptuous, but I'm just follow me with the thought. If we were just genuinely radical with all that we had, monetary value and possessions. And I know generosity is about time. In fact, today it's more about time than money, it feels like. You know, it's been a great challenge to get working bees to help our building. We've still got lots to do. People would rather throw you $20 and give you an hour on a Saturday morning. People are so busy. I am too. What would it look like if us, even the church, all the churches, all the Christian churches, were extravagant in their generosity? Amazing. With my blue Ford Prefect, man, it was a nice car. She was sweet. No power steering, no electrics, but that was my first car. And then I tried later on after that to get, now the car became bigger than God and I wanted a nicer car. So I pulled back. I switched to the bag mentality, and I never got that car. And this boy learned a big lesson. What you keep is all you're going to have, but what you give, God multiplies. Today, may I just finish with this comment to church family. If you do not tithe today, I want to encourage you to tithe. Some people say to me, well, Pastor, I've never tithed before. Can I just start giving just maybe 2%, then next year 3%, next year 4%? I never quite know how to respond because this is what I think. Let's just pretend you have a habit for robbing dairies. Pastor, this year I'm only going to rob 3 of them. I'm only going to rob 6, and then next year I'll only rob 2 of them. Would you say that? No, you wouldn't. You say, stop it. Stop robbing. Malachi says, if you withhold the tithe, you're robbing God. So, pastorally, I want to encourage people to grow towards their 10%, but actually, if you cut me open in my heart, I'll say, stop robbing God. Stop it. If you call yourself a Christian, and put him first. Oh, Pastor, you're talking about money again? No, I'm not. I'm talking about heart. I'm actually not. Money's never here nor there. And the vision of this house is not based on our giving. It's my confidence and trust is in God. But I'm trying to mature you and grow you as I had to grow and mature. I learned that valuable lesson many years ago. Have I been tempted to pull back? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Then I had to shake myself. No. Get the word of God. Get the confessions out, Lord. Get the word of God. Lord, I'm putting my trust in you. When Chrissy and I branched out and started to do MPD and raise our funds, at the time we were supporting two missionaries. We made appointments with both missionaries, and they were kind of expecting, because they were on the same church, they said they were expecting us to kind of withdraw, pull back. And they came to, remember that, sweetheart? And I'm sorry if this sounds like bragging. It's not. I'm trying hard not to do that, but I'm just trying to get this over to you that I've had to go through the grind on this whole subject. We got them around individually and said, you know what God's doing with us? We're also going to be raising our partnership team and all of that, and we're partnering with you. And, oh, yes, we know. And they're kind of bracing for it. And we said, so we want to double our giving to you. We want to double our giving because we're not going to subscribe to the bag mentality. We're not going to withdraw and shrink back. We're going to trust God to increase our provisions, our barn, to grow us. And he did. We've never, ever been in lack. Proverbs 21:26 says, all day long, the lazy and the selfish crave and crave and crave and crave, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. Okay, Pastor, I've listened to you here for 25, 30 minutes. What do you want me to do with this? Here it is. Don't hold back. Be extravagant. And I'm not just talking about giving to this. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about a heart of gratitude. I'm talking about opening the doors of your home, giving time to people, blessing people, being extravagant. We believe in a barn blessing, big-hearted, grace-filled, extravagant God. Hallelujah. Can anyone say amen? Our Heavenly Father didn't hold back. While we were up to our eyeballs and drowning in sin, he sent first his one son. First, he gave his one and only son, Jesus Christ, that we might be forgiven. He gave his best. He gave us his first. Everyone say first. First. He was generous. No. He was extravagantly generous. I would not give one of my children for anybody and not for everybody. I couldn't bring myself to it, but God did. He was extravagant, and he wants you and I to live just like that, to be generous. Amen. Father, I just pray right now for these words to sink deep into our hearts. I pray that all of us would be wise stewards and extravagant. I think of that widow with outrageous faith to feed her last morsel of food to someone else, not her son and not herself, and to trust the words of the man of God. I think of that young boy who upon a request gave his lunch. And I think that young boy's eyes would have grown as big as saucers as he saw his loaves and his fishes fill the tummies of over 10,000 people, and then even the leftovers were bigger than his basket. 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Let us be like the little boy. Let us be like that widow. And Father, I pray that we would also be like that woman who broke open the vase, the alabaster vase, with that oil, that perfume was poured out, extravagance over Jesus, over you. Lord, I pray you'd break our hearts, you'd break open our lives, that we would not be a people that would withhold. We'd not be a people, Lord, with a bag mindset or even a basket mindset. Lord, I pray we'd be a people with a barn mindset. Lord, that we'd be generous in heart. Remove the idols, remove the selfishness, Lord, out of all of our hearts. Lord, I just declare today that money would not hold our heart. that comfort would not be our God. Let us be extravagant, Father. Lord, I pray that you would be first in all things. With our time allocation, all of our choices, let us automatically say, God, what would you like me to do? Do you have an opinion on this? Does your word speak to this? Lord, I pray we'd be lovers of your word. But we'd consult you first in every way possible. I pray this now in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. If you've come today, and we're glad that everybody came, and if you're not following Jesus, I'm so glad you came. We really are. We're a church that welcomes all people of all persuasions, and we thank you for coming. If anybody here wants to explore Jesus or talk about God, talk about faith, and maybe now you're not following God, but you want to ask questions, I'm going to be just down here in the front. I'd love the opportunity to talk with you. Or maybe you've come to a point you want to accept Jesus and begin a new life in Christ and be totally forgiven. Can I tell you today, God is a God of the second chance. In fact, we've got some people today that are available for prayer. If I could ask you to come out, and Faye, Malia, Janine, anyone else, our prayer team, let's all stand to our feet, Garni, Chari. Let me just say this as we stand to our feet. If you have any prayer needs today, healing, encouragement, but here's what I also want to say. Often over the January period, we get out of fellowship, we get into our holidays, we get away, and we somehow, for some reason, drift from God. We get out of our disciplines, and I want to tell you today, don't let the devil keep you away from God. Let God, he wants to renew his love for you, and he's a God of the second chance. And so you can, today, if that's that's where you're at, Lord, I want to encourage you today. Come and talk to one of these people. Come and just confess. Just come and say, look, I need to come back to the Lord. I need to renew my love for him. Amen. Father, I thank you for this day. I pray the gracious blessings of God upon these people. Lord, help them to make the decisions that they need to make, the choices they need to make. Let your word sink deep in our heart. Let it take root in our heart and let it flourish and grow into fruits of righteousness. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen. God bless you.